Today's program has been brought to you by the International Culinary Center, offering courses that range from classic French techniques in culinary, pastry, and bread baking to Italian studies to management, from culinary technology to food writing, from cake making to wine tasting. For more information, visit internationalculinarycenter.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
It's open year-round, it's one of Seattle's most iconic attractions, and it's filled with tasty treats. Aisles display gleaming fruits and vegetables, tables overflow with fresh floral bouquets, and booth after booth sells all manner of locally made jewelry, clothing, and gifts. But the highlight of Seattle's Pike Place Market is the world's famous fish market, where fishmongers toss giant salmon and sell some of the West Coast's freshest and most delicious seafood. I'm Mariana Kotlier, and this is a special session of Heritage Radio Network. We are very lucky to have Anders Miller and Brian Jarre in the studio. They're the co-authors of In the Kitchen with the Pike Place Fish Guys, a book that serves a wealth of more than 100 savory seafood recipes and features tips answering the most popular questions the fish guys get. How do you cook that? Anders and Brian, thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you. We're excited to be here.
Yeah.
It's a cool spot.
We love seafood, but right now that pizza right outside this window looks most appetizing. So it's going to be hard to concentrate.
Well, we're very lucky to have you in Brooklyn today. So thank you for joining us. So tell us a little bit about this book, which has been apparently many, many years in the making.
Many, many years. I've worked down at the fish market for 13 years now, and it's an idea that's been around longer than I have. It's kind of a every fishmonger that's worked there before me said, we need to make a cookbook. We need to make a cookbook. And it never really happened. We collected a few recipes about 10 years ago, and it just kind of stopped there. Because at the end of the day, we work 12 hours, 5 days a week. It takes a lot to make a book, and nobody had the energy. So what we collected got stuck in a manila envelope and just tossed in the back room for 10 years, covered in dust.
So, Brian, what was your role in finally getting these guys to get their act together and make
sure? I went to a couple of their staff meetings, and then, like Anders said, they work 12 hours a day. They love the idea of doing a cookbook, and then I kind of came on and then helped them manage it through. So we spent a lot of time concepting the book, outlining what we want to do with it, really pushing sustainability, making the sustainable cookbook, making a fish cookbook that's really approachable. Which cookbooks in the past that about seafood are a lot more restaurant focused. Mm-hmm. And so I really kind of helped take their voice and then drive it forward. And then now we have this awesome cookbook, and we're excited. We're excited it's finally out. I've been working on it with them for 4 years.
Wow, that's a long time. That's really exciting. On the point of sustainability, I'd love to touch upon that a little bit. So starting in 2011, the Pike Place Market started selling only 100% sustainably raised fish. So can you talk a little bit about kind of what it took you guys to get there and sort of how you ensure that your fishermen are meeting these sustainability practices?
Yeah, it took a lot of hate mail is what started it. We used to sell wild steelhead and great fish, and you can legally buy it from the natives in Washington. They have kind mm-hmm. of their own set of rules. And so we were buying from the natives, and people were getting very upset about it because the steelhead populations all over the state that were not managed by the natives were not healthy. So it got to where I was getting like 30 emails a day, and they were not very friendly ones. So we, our whole thing at Pike Place Fish is about peace and prosperity for everybody and loving people, and we clearly were upsetting a lot of people,
right,
with our decision to sell steelhead. So I printed off a bunch of those emails and took them to our staff meeting. We meet every 2 weeks, and I said, look, we got to take it, we got to take responsibility for what we're creating in the world. Like, everybody's upset. These sport fishermen, I mean, they were really nasty.
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't read them on the air nasty, some of them.
Wow.
Yeah, so we started talking about it, and it kind of opened up a bigger conversation about, we don't need to sell steelhead to be successful.
Right.
And then, if we're up to peace and prosperity in the world, like, what, take a look at the other practices. What are we really doing here? So
sure.
It kind of opened up a bigger conversation, and we said, well, hey, why don't we just revamp the whole thing and go sustainable? And the owner was very scared. He's, you know, we've been doing business one way a long time. We're very successful, and it was scary and it was new, but he trusted us.
Yeah.
And he let us go for it, and it's been really, really good for us.
And did you have to work with any of your existing providers to kind of get them to change their practices so that they would fit your new rules?
Absolutely, yeah. We, and luckily we have really good people. Like, we have a couple of brokers we've been buying from for like 30 years, and they get us great service, and they know. You know, we send a lot of fish back for quality, uh-huh. for anything. We send more fish back than anybody. If we don't like it, it's going back to them, and then they're going to have to sell it to somebody else, and it's even worse now. So
right.
They're pretty good about it. They don't try to push anything over on us. So it's really important that we already had those relationships established, mm-hmm. and everyone's really been looking out for us.
Absolutely. And how do you bring that education about sustainability to the consumer? I mean, you obviously have a really big impact. You're now world famous. You have a loud voice in the fish. In the community of people who love fish. So how do you teach them a little bit about the sustainable part? I mean, I know for myself, even being somebody who is really interested in and focused on sustainability, the seafood component of this issue has a tendency to be really overwhelming because it's so challenging to understand whether one type of fish is okay, but only if it's caught in this area using these methods and another one isn't. So you kind of really need a filter in order to parse that, and it can be exhausting to look at that. So how do you address that?
You know, we didn't really know what we were doing either, so yeah. we had to get educated ourselves. And so what we did, we checked out different organizations, and we decided that we were going to kind of get mentored and follow the Monterey Bay Sea Watch program.
Mm-hmm.
They're very successful, great guidelines. So we actually became a full partner with them. And we've kind of been mentored by them. We did their training program. And, as far as passing it on, like we have the Sea Watch cards with our logo on them. And they mm-hmm. go every single box and bag that leaves our shop, all our shipping orders, everything. Everybody gets a Sea Watch card now.
Great.
From Pike Place Fish, so that if you're in middle America somewhere and you can, you actually can go, wow, I have a choice. I can make a difference by what I choose to buy.
Great.
So that's one way, just talking to people. We see 10 million people every year, so... doing that, we do community outreach, going and just talking to people, and now our cookbook. That's another reason why we kind of waited to, we like you said, we have a big platform. People listen to us,
mm-hmm.
and they're like, "What's next? What's next?" So we're actually taking advantage of that as a chance to educate people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I it can be really daunting, especially for an individual consumer. But I think a best way is. Create a relationship with a fishmonger.
Mm-hmm.
Once you find a fish market where someone's knowledgeable and they can tell you how it was caught, where it was caught, exactly what type of fish it is, keep going back there. And then same with restaurants. Once you can find a restaurant where they know where it came from, the server knows when they got it in, how it was caught, where it came, all those types of things, go to that restaurant over and over again. Like, you have the power to do that, and you don't have to take it fully on yourself. You can kind of...
Great. That's great. There are also, I saw that you mentioned in the books, there are some apps consumers can use that help them sort of filter through seafood choices. I think the Monterey Bay Aquarium has one as well. So I'm very interested in the fishmonger side of your work. Obviously, that's what you
it.
Focus on. That's what
you do.
That's
the whole deal. That's how I make my money.
What brought you into that line of work? How long have you been doing it? How's it been? What are the secrets of the trade? I mean, I'm just so curious. And what does that life look like and feel like?
Oh, man, it's been amazing for me. It's been so, so great. And I just feel blessed. I have an awesome life. I work with awesome guys that support me and love me. And just I get to experience magic every single day. But I didn't know that going in. When I went in there, I hated crowds. I was, I never wanted to be the center of attention, which you are all the time at my job. And I had a friend that kept trying to recruit me to work there. He's like, I know you can do this. And he kept showing me our corporate training tape every time I would go visit him. It's 17 mm-hmm. minutes. I was like, felt like he's trying to get me to join the army or something. finally I said, you know what? I need a job. I just need a job. I didn't have a job for like 6 months. I was just camping, hanging out, like living it up, but really using a credit card.
Right.
So I just said, what the hell, I'm going to do it for the summer. And man, I've just learned so much down there about being, being accountable for my experience. I learned down there that I create my own reality.
Right.
You know, I'm not a product of my environment. People aren't doing things to me. Things aren't happening to me. I'm actually creating everything. That's what I get out of it.
You guys work 12-hour days. Can you walk me through a day? What time do you get up in the morning?
I get up at 5 o'clock.
Okay.
I drink coffee. I get dressed. I pour some more coffee. I drive to the shop, hang out. We shovel out a bunch of ice.
Uh-huh.
And we huddle up at 6:30. That's one thing. Every day starts with a team huddle. We work in this great team environment where we all, you know, we call it holes in alignment. Everybody there is responsible for the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you get all those guys aligned on one common goal, that's when the magic happens, when you start creating these awesome results and magic just shows up. So we create our day in the huddle. You know, obviously there's business that you need to talk about too. You know, when did we get things in? What do we have a lot of? Things like that, what we need to focus on. Sales goals, if anybody's having a tough time personally, mm-hmm. you know, is there a space to clear the air? Is there anything that is getting in the way of you being an awesome fishmonger today? So we huddle up, create our day, set up, start at 6:30. Set up by 8 is our goal every day.
Mm-hmm.
And then we just rock the house, have fun, sell fish, have fun with people, you know, bring them behind the counter, take pictures, sell lots of fish.
So are the fish coming in then between 6:30 and 8? That's when the orders start arriving?
Sometimes they come in then. A lot of times Chris, our driver, will set up with us while the boss is in the back. Generally, that's Sam. He's the GM, and he'll go in the back, and he's wheeling and dealing on the phone and kind of tracking down what we need. And he'll send Chris out. He'll make him a list, sends him out usually around 8,
mm-hmm.
and then he comes back in the afternoon with all the new fish. And
great.
Yeah, and then we, at 5:45, we're all watching the clock, and we all yell, 5:45, and then we repeat it. That's another thing. We call in response. Have you ever been out there?
I've actually never been out there, and I was going to say my first exposure, this is kind of an embarrassing confession, but my first exposure to the Pike's Place Fish Market was actually through the Real World Seattle, where they throw the fish, and that's what's, you know, landed in there. That was kind of the first time I got exposed to that. So
there's a little bit more to it.
I know there is.
Yeah, so 5:45, we all yell it out. We're all excited. We start putting everything away as fast as we can, because as soon as we're done with that, we get to go home. So put everything away, scrub everything down, spray the floor, all that, get it clean, and then lock it up.
Great.
And then we get in the back. We change out of our overalls. We huddle up, and we compare what we created in the morning to what actually happened.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, it's kind of like, were you full of it this morning? And not like you're full of it, like you did something bad, but, you know, just a barometer of like, were you being your word? How's your integrity? Like, did you do what you said you were going to do? You know, how was the money? Was the cash register balanced? You know, there's a bunch of us working at one time, and it's crazy, and you're yelling, and there's cameras down there. There's a lot going on. And so sometimes, you know, our cash register doesn't balance, so we got to take a look at that. So,
sure.
Yeah, and then we huddle up, we do our huddle, and then we head home.
Yeah.
Do it again the next day.
Brian, what was it like for you working with these guys, kind of harnessing their expertise and enthusiasm and trying to pull that into this cohesive book that both shows the spirit of it and also really connects kind of with a broader audience?
Yeah, it was amazing, the whole experience, but it was also kind of the biggest challenge was, when you're down there at the market, you have that chaos and just this amazing magic energy that Anders was talking about every day, where the celebrities come by and come up behind the counter, and then someone proposes to their wife in front of a fish counter. And then 2 hours later, you know, there's TV cameras down there, and then there's a photo shoot going on. And at that whole time, they're still selling fish and talking about sustainability. And so one of the biggest challenges was, how do we take that and then put that into a book? Like, how do you do it out of a written form and still give all that education and show it into the recipes and what they do at home? But it was, I mean, every day was, for me, was down there magic too. I'd be going on my week and kind of, you know, run down, and I have all this stuff to do and could be upset about something. And if I went down there or went to one of their meetings, even for a few hours, I just kind of came alive again.
That's great. It's kind of shows what the excitement and the buzz is like of being down there. I want to talk a little bit about the fish toss, because you have to. So you were recently with Kathy Lee and Hoda, right? Teaching them how to do the fish toss. How did that go?
Pretty good. That's the second time they've done it. Last time they were actually in Seattle.
Oh, wow.
But that was at, you know, that was like 4 o'clock in the morning. And they had some wine in them. So they did a little better this time. But no, they're great. It was a lot of fun.
So how did that become so symbolic of the Pike Place Fish Market?
Man, it's fun and it creates energy. You know, it started as logistics, you know, because the way our shop is set up, we've got the behind the counter that's kind of elevated, get some guys working behind the counter, and then we have our displays out front, and somebody orders the fish out front. And the first time it happened was actually a bag of clams, which we call a bag of rocks. And someone ordered it, and the guy, it was 1 pound of clams. It's a very small, inexpensive order. And, you know, the guy was in his head going, oh my God, 25 steps for a pound of clams. He's actually counting how many steps he took. So he decided to just chuck it instead of having to walk all the way up there with the clams.
Right.
He just yelled out, pound of clams. And, you know, everybody repeated it and he threw it. And then they kind of looked around and was like, man, that felt good. And so that kind of became a thing. It's more efficient, gets it from point A to point B.
Sure.
And it really creates energy. That's actually our call and response is, we say, are the barometer of, you know, like how the team is doing at that time. Like the owner gets out of the truck when he pulls up in the morning and he can tell just by the way we're responding if the team is on or if we're off, you know. So that's pretty cool.
That is very cool. I think I was checking you guys out online a little bit and I saw a picture of you delivering one of the fish that had been tossed one too many times to the local zoo.
Yeah.
Is that something that you typically do? I mean, I think now most of the fish that you throw around aren't actually the ones that get sold to customers. Is that true?
Stunt fish.
Yeah, we have stunt fish. We buy chum salmon. They're cheap. They've been caught in a net, so they're like a little beat up looking. They're not the prettiest thing. They got their heads cut off. And we buy those just for throwing, you know. Because if somebody comes up and picks out a fish and buys it, we'll throw it up there gently one time, you know, because you really don't want to throw a fish around a ton. It's not really good for it. So,
sure.
So we have, what, like Brian said, we have stunt fish that we buy just for that, and we just throw them until they're literally mangled. Like you hold it in your hand, and it like wraps around your hand, or you'll throw it back, and when they catch it, a little piece of meat fly out of the belly and stick to people's glasses or whatever. and when they just get totally hammered, we just yell out, last one for this one, and then throw it up there, bag it up, right, bear or some other, I don't know, we're always doing funny stuff. But and then we freeze them, and then we take them to the cold storage, and now we used to go and deliver them, but we've got it set up now where they can come when they need the zoo and the Woodland Park Zoo, and then there's a wolf refuge called Wolf Haven.
Oh, wow.
And so they actually have permission to come right to the cold storage, and they take it right out of the lot, and they take it there, and they feed them. But yeah, some of the guys got to go throw fish to the bears.
That's great.
And,
well,
and the way the camera shot looked, you can't see the moat that they're throwing it over, so it looks like you're like, whoa, they're about to get attacked by a grizzly, and they have a chum salmon in their hand. I don't know if this is safe.
The grizzly's like up on a rock. Bowman's like, wait, that's my buddy.
Yeah. Really fun.
Yeah.
Well, that's great, and make sure that nothing gets wasted. You also talk about using the whole fish in the book a little bit. So I'm wondering if you can talk a little bit about sort of things that consumers don't typically know, you know, using some of the less choice parts of the fish and how you can kind of stretch that out.
Yeah, I think a lot of people in general are just kind of scared of cooking fish, handling seafood. And so if they are a little bit comfortable, they'll go right to like a nice fillet. But then they won't use the bones or the head, which you can use for stock, or you get into like halibut cheeks and things like halibut cheeks are some of the best part of halibut.
Yeah.
And you're missing out. Or collars.
Don't tell them about the collars. Those are my favorite.
Yeah. We don't want
that again. The collars are terrible. Don't ever eat the collars.
Yeah. Don't do them. Yeah. Collars, little secret, collars are some of the best parts of the fish. And a lot of people are like,
what's so great about them?
They're high kind of fat and like oil content, and so they just stay, no matter how you cook them, they stay nice and moist. They pick up any sauce that you kind of put on them, and so they're just really succulent. And you know how like sometimes in certain parts of fillets you're like, oh, it doesn't have as much flavor. All the flavor's packed in that area. So those are great areas. And then I was saying like bones, shells, heads and things like that. You can make fish stock, seafood stock, all that kind of stuff for soup bases and things like that. So you can really use a whole fish.
Great.
Yeah, a lot of the...
Don't use the scales.
a lot of the meat, yeah, a lot of the meat that's next to the bones is some of the best meat on there. And it, when you fillet a fish, you know, your knife is flat and you're going along the bone, and there's some meat that gets left on there. So we'll, like, you can take a spoon and go down the backbone of the salmon, and the meat will roll off of there, and you can make great. That's actually how we make our salmon patties at the shop.
Great.
Yeah.
You know, whole animal butchery is becoming very popular right now. It's very in vogue, and I think one of the things I didn't realize is that fish are just as complex as, you know, a cow or a pig. So I was recently in the north of Spain, and we actually had somebody kind of go through a whole fish that had been roasted and kind of separate out all of the different parts and teach us how, you know, how specific, how the flavor changes as you kind of go through.
That's an amazing experience.
Yeah, it was
what
a really
kind
great
of fish?
Experience. It was a rodaballo, which is a turbo.
Okay.
So it has, you know, both the top side, because it's one of those bottom dwellers. Mm-hmm. So it's got the top side and the bottom side, and those have different flavors. And so, I mean, I had no idea about any of this, but it was a really great education. So I'm just curious about whether you're kind of seeing consumers come to you more and want to know those really specific details about, you know, secrets like the collar of the fish or, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, they do. I definitely see, you know, there's more people nowadays that are catching on to that. You know, you sell a whole salmon, and back in the day, they don't care. They don't want the head. They don't know about the collars. They don't want any of that stuff. And now, you know, you definitely get that. People coming up and asking for the belly. Like the belly, like a bear, when they eat a salmon, they just eat the belly. You know, they eat all the good stuff. They know where it's at. But yeah, the humans are catching on now too. So definitely people are starting to perk up to all that.
Yeah, and I remember Sam, the general manager, he had a story when he first started. He would go down and when they would prep out tuna, they would get even rid of the tuna belly.
Wow.
It's like tuna belly that now when you're at a sushi restaurant is like the most prized.
Wow.
He would go down and it would just be stacks of tuna belly. They're like, oh, no one wants that.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Unbelievable.
So good.
So we don't have too much time left, but I want you to talk a little bit about the corporate training program that you guys have, because it's really exciting and interesting that, you know, office guys wearing ties are interested in learning about the culture that you have created at the Pike's Place Market and want to get key learnings out of that.
Yeah, well, it is pretty crazy. Sometimes I'll have those moments because we literally have traveled all over the world speaking to people, and I get that same experience. I'm like, wow, I'm this fish dude wearing a hat and a hooded sweatshirt standing up here talking to all these executives in ties. But, I mean, it just goes to show you that it doesn't really matter what we do transcends everything. It doesn't really matter what you do for a living or whatever. We're just, you know, it's all about loving the people and having fun with people and including them. Integrity is super important to us. That's one thing that we talk about when we're on the road, is being the power of your word. You know, if you say something, do it. That's where all your personal power comes from. So power of personal responsibility, again, you know, like you're creating the whole thing. So take responsibility for what you're creating out there. And it's pretty cool to go in there and you know, rock a bunch of executives and then go, wow, you know. And I think that's why people listen to us, because we're just a bunch of average Joes, but we choose to be extraordinary at what we do, and we choose to be extraordinary at work. And then you don't go punch the clock and then go home and you suck, you know what I mean? You gotta, like,
right.
I don't know, it's kind of like once you go there, you can't really go back.
Great. Well, you clearly love what you do, and then that is infectious. So I'm really excited to take this cookbook home and cook some recipes from it. Where can people find this?
Everywhere,
yeah.
Amazon. we went to the. We took our picture next to the book at the Barnes & Noble down in Midtown.
Perfect.
The favorite independent bookstore. If they don't have it, tell them to get it.
You can fly to Seattle. You can buy one from us. We'll autograph it for you. We'll
and show you can you. Catch a fish.
Yeah, you can catch a fish. We'll show you how to fillet a fish. You can do all that.
That sounds great.
You could come be a fishmonger for a day.
I might take you up on that. Yeah. That sounds really fun.
We've had people do it.
Well, I really hope that I can make it out there. Anders and Brian, thank you so much. The book is In the Kitchen with the Pike Place Fish Guys. This has been a special session of the Heritage Radio Network. I'm Mariana Cotlier, and see you next time.
Thank you.
Thanks.
All the music featured on today's program was by Tom Cruise. You've been listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.org. Thanks for listening to this program on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening. Fancy restaurant records.